Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx media like...
Pocahontas. I mean, she's gay as fuck, right?
Super gay, dude.
Dude, like, honestly, if it had gone my way, she would have rejected John or whatever the hell his name was.
Baby wolf, come my way.
And just go ahead and hook up with that girl that she was hooking up with, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're hooking up. They were together, like, all the time.
Like, she knew exactly where she was. She was covering for her. And they... like, would have made a really good couple.
They really would. I mean,
or
they were
did
like
make
friends.
A good couple because they were gay. I'm pretty convinced.
You're convinced that they're gay. I mean, yeah. I am too. Remember that, like, I mean, boat scene? Come on, the boat scene.
They're in love.
They're in love. They're meant to be. They're supposed
and
to be.
And when I get my live action television remake of it, things will go as such.
So she's going to reject John. She's going to reject that other guy.
Well, she's probably going to be, like, coerced by the white man to do certain shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be very realistic. I'll tell you that.
Because fuck John Smith. I was about to say Jon Snow, but that's, like, the wrong shit.
No, fuck him, too.
Oh, right? Okay.
Bend
that's
the knee.
Thing.
Okay, but anyways.
I can't fuck with Jon Snow right now. But it's cool. He's still okay.
He's still cool.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, so...
Hey, cabrona.
What's popping, chingona? What you doing, girl?
Same thing I always do. Drink a Dos Equis.
Drinking Dos Equis. Same.
Mm-hmm. We are now looking for sponsors. Dos Equis.
Dos Equis, hit us up. We're down. We drink your stuff for free. We pay to drink your stuff, so...
We talk about your stuff for free.
And we talk about your stuff for
and
free.
This is the last time, goddammit.
Yeah, we're just going to say green beer next time.
We're drinking a green beer, not Heineken.
It's not Heineken.
Disgusting. Anyways.
Yeah. Heineken, you know, one time I had Heineken, but it was like, no, I had milk that smelled just like Heineken.
What
it was spoiled
fuck?
Milk. What? It smelled just like Heineken. I opened it and I was like, whoa, this is Heineken. What the fuck is happening? I immediately dumped that milk out, right? But
disgusting.
I smelled it first and it was the worst smell on earth. So.
I'm pretty excited. I'm basically just researched for this episode, dude. I'm so excited for this episode.
Me too. I've been putting in, like, a lot of work for this one.
We should talk about real quick how Circumstance of the Movie is pretty much the reason that, number one, we're friends.
Yes.
And number two, this podcast came to be.
Yes.
And the reason that I have been able to very thoroughly research anything because I wrote a paper on it many, many years ago.
And I think I sent you the trailer for it, and I was like, dude,
yeah, and
watch
then
this movie.
And I did, and it was amazing.
That was, like, the whole basis of our friendship is this movie.
This podcast is owed to Circumstance.
Shout out to you, Miriam Kesavarez. Ooh, baby girl, I said your name all wrong. Miriam Kesavarez?
I don't know.
Damn it, the director. I love
her.
Okay,
we love you.
We love you, baby girl. I can't say your name
you
right.
You should go
so
to Klexicon.
Apologize.
By the way, I'm going to Klexicon. I got re-invited as the member of the press. So that's
when is it?
It's in April, early April in Las Vegas.
So I'm going this time.
So, yeah. Just go, like, fly to Los Angeles. We'll drive there. It's 4 hours away.
Oh, I love driving through the desert.
I don't.
Okay, so I'll drive.
Okay. But we're also going to talk about the bold type. And this episode's getting fast-tracked and moved ahead of all the other episodes we have recorded. Because
yes.
The bold type, I will talk about why it's so important that everybody needs to watch the show and get on that shit.
I mean, it's amazing, so we got to talk about it. And it has our...
It has Nicole Boucher in it.
Who is also in Circumstance.
Yes, she's one of the two main characters. And she's not a main character in the bull type, but she's in a lot of the episodes, and she plays a hell of an important part.
Yes.
She's getting a lot.
Told quite yet.
Yeah.
We'll get to the spoilers a little bit later, right?
Yeah, so we'll introduce our topics and then... have a little point where we're just like, all right, we're about to get real spoilery, so...
We'll warn y'all, so, yeah, we don't want to fuck with y'all.
Yeah. Even Circumstance is several years old, but...
Yeah, if you have not seen Circumstance, you need to go get your life right.
Don't watch it. Yeah, I don't blame you because it didn't get enough.
It's super indie. It, like, premiered at Sundance in 2011. It won the Audience Award, but, I mean, you only know that if, like, you're, like, doing your Googles, like,
why? We have been doing, like, crazy.
Like, no, you have a life. We understand.
We understand.
We don't.
Now you know and you have no excuse. We'll tell you why. You'll see.
You'll understand. It's the crux of our friendship and this podcast, so.
It's very important.
Super important. But, yeah, so, do you want to talk about...
The bold type. It's good. Okay. So, it's on Freeform.
Freeform.
Formerly ABC. Yeah, formerly ABC Family. It's on Freeform. And I'm sorry. The first season isn't even over yet. They are on episode 6. They're probably going to be on episode 7 when this comes out. Basically, it's about three girls. They work at a fashion magazine company, mm-hmm. doing various different things, different jobs. And it's super feminist. It's like hyper feminist. To the point sometimes where it's kind of cheesy, where you're just like, I get it, I'm learning a lesson. But they have really good takes on really good stuff. Like, the most recent episode was about breast cancer, and people have always done these really generic breast cancer episodes, and this one is really, like, doing it from a very unique perspective, and they have a very... They go about it a really, really cool way, and they're in New York. We're in New York. Anywhere that a man can show his nipples, a woman can show their nipples in public.
Oh, yeah. So they kind of. Right?
Yeah. And so that's. Just watch this episode based off of that. But it's a really good show. It stars like three chicks. One of them played one of the leads on Faking It. I don't know if you guys remember Karma from Faking It.
Karma.
That she is one of the leads. She's not gay in this. Yeah, that we know of. There's a lot of gay-esque action, but
it's so not. Far, she's not the queer one.
Right, not yet. But the character in the show named Kat, who she used to be in Chasing Life, and even in Chasing Life, on that show, she was also kind of queer. She never actually did anything, but, like, her character herself, like, came out as saying one day, like, oh, yeah, I mess around with chicks, or whatever it was that she said. And that was pretty awesome.
So that's pretty, epic back in the day.
Her name is Aisha D. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. She's, like, from Australia. She's pretty, you can kind of, like, hear her accent sometimes, and it's adorable.
Aww. Yeah. She's cute, though. She's, oh my god.
She's very cute. She plays Kat, and then Kat is, like, one of the social media coordinators or something like that, and... Like, I'm a social media coordinator for Bobner TV, and I gotta say, I do not get paid for it. But,
and you don't exactly do the same stuff she does.
Yeah, she, like, goes hard. Like, she's on those accounts all day, and that's what she does for a living, and that's pretty fucking awesome. But I guess she does other stuff, too, because I think it's the first episode, she's really, really upset that one of the articles that, about a Muslim photographer who's a lesbian... and out and proud, she, like, that article is, or that whole story is getting pulled from the magazine, and she's really upset about it. She's like, no, this is a great story. This would be, like, so beneficial to the magazine, too. So she takes it upon herself, even though she's told not to go find her and convince her to let them do her story after all. And, like, instant connection between Kat and Adina. Hashtag Kadina. Because they're, like, the new ship on the block. And they're fantastic. And the actresses was Aisha D and Nicole Bocchieri. They totally stand for each other, which is awesome. But you should definitely see this shit.
I've watched their scenes.
You've seen just their scenes? God damn it, dude. You have to watch the whole show. I'm going to make an argument for that because the entire show...
You too.
Because, okay, but their scenes...
Has all their episodes.
No, their scenes... their scenes were fantastic, but what I loved, like, just as much as those scenes was the interactions that Kat had with her friends about Adina. Like, where she talks to them about, like, how she's feeling, because, you know, your usual coming out story is, oh, I don't want to feel this, oh, my parents think this or that, but Kat's just like, oh, shit, am I liking a chick? And she's very, very cool about it. She's just like, I don't know, I might, like, I guess, you know? She's, like, super, super cool about it. She's, like, so true, like, she's super, super, like, I don't know.
Open to the idea that she's, like...
Yeah, like, she doesn't give a damn about, like, what other people think. She doesn't... It's the most atypical coming out story that I've seen in the media. And I've seen every coming out story in the media.
You've seen every story.
Every single one.
Every single last one of the coming out ones.
Oh, damn.
Okay, I haven't seen all of them. But this is... And I've seen, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds of them. And this is the most original one that I've seen. So it's definitely worth watching.
So she likes a girl.
So she likes a girl for the first time ever. And she's, like, fucking awesome. It was really cool seeing Circumstance recently and then seeing Nicole in this show. She has, like, the accent and stuff, even though I'm pretty sure, like, in real life she doesn't have an accent.
No, she's from, like,
Canada or something.
She's from Canada, but maybe she was just, like, oh, and oh,
she,
I just sound like
she
my
wears,
or something.
What was really cool is she wears her hijab and, like, she explains, like, her reasoning and she prays and... It's, like, a really, really cool representation of like, the Muslim identity.
No.
At least I think so.
Yeah, I love that part.
Because
I
she's just like, yeah,
much.
I'm a lesbian. Like, but that doesn't mean I'm not a Muslim, you know what I mean? So I thought that was super awesome. And like I said, they're only like halfway through their first season and they haven't gotten renewed yet. And they really need to. Like, for God's sakes, like, we're losing Orphan Black.
Oh,
yesterday was the last episode.
Oh my God, I know.
It's done.
Okay, but don't judge me.
You haven't been watching the season.
I was waiting until I could binge watch it.
Oh, okay. No, well, I mean, that's, Amazon. It's, yeah. It makes sense, and then just, you know, go look at my
Amazon
recaps.
Because it's on Amazon Prime now. Shout out to Amazon Prime for having Orphan Black. Also, that's where you can watch it.
Circumstance? Or the book?
Oh, you can buy Circumstance on Amazon Prime, which is what I did, but Orphan Black's on Amazon
Prime. Streaming on Amazon
Prime. Yeah.
Streaming on Amazon Prime.
That's awesome. And then you have my recaps on Popular TV.
Yeah, like, shout out to Maitha's recaps on Orphan Black. We always post them.
And Winona Earp, which has been doing amazing. This last episode blew my mind. It was amazing.
Didn't watch it.
I died. I'm just going to pretend that this doesn't hurt my heart. Okay. the bold type, dude. Like, honestly, I went to ATX Fest this summer, and they were there, and actually Kat passed by me and I died. Or the one that plays Kat, which is Aisha D. Mm-hmm. She passed by me and I died. Like,
I think you did tell me that you walked by her, and she's like,
yeah,
beautiful.
I walked by her and the one that used to be on Faking It.
Karma.
Yeah.
So you mean...
They both passed by me.
Oh,
like, they were right next to each other or whatever. And
yeah, I don't think Nicole Boucher would be there since she has, like, a guest role.
Yeah, she has... No, it was just the three main actresses and I think, like, a couple of the guests, their guests, like, their personal friends or whatever.
Yo, because she was there.
Bro. But anyways. Anyways, Aisha, I totally saw you in ATX. You looked kind of down that day. I don't know.
I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I was like, I was not going to approach them. They didn't look like they were in the mood. And that's respectable.
No, yeah. I mean, they're just humans walking around. So you're like, eh.
But I was just really happy to see them. Like, I don't care.
You're like, yes. Fangirl, over here. I won't bother you.
Right.
I'm fangirl the exact same way. I've met, like, athletes and stuff. And I'm just like...
Yeah, I never meet them. Like, I always pass by them and then, like, smile really hard. That's all I do. So, safest fan ever here.
Oh, that's adorable.
No, but honestly, one of my favorite parts of the show is, like, the way her friends, like, react and treat her whenever she's trying to figure out this whole sexuality thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she's trying... Like, they don't even question it. They're not just like, are you sure? Are you going through something? Blah, blah, blah. They're super encouraging. And they even kind of, like, laugh it off. And they don't act awkward around her because they do... You know how chick friends are? Like, they're all over each other, like, getting undressed in front of each other and doing all kinds of weird
shit.
That's
weird.
Yeah, I don't do that shit. But straight girls do that shit. I know they do. Because they tell me. They do. They have, you know, word of mouth here. And they do all that shit just the same. And they have a bunch of, like... I don't know. They're just... I love the relationship between the three main characters. It's absolutely amazing.
I feel like that's realistic, though, because my experience from coming out to my friends, it was the kind of way they were. They were just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, they're just like,
I like her, though.
No, yeah, and, like, spoiler alert. She, like, you know, she finally kisses Kat, no, Adina, and she comes to her friends, she's just like, me and whatever Adina made out last night. And then her friends are just like, you kissed a girl? And she's like, and I liked it.
Oh.
And they just like group hug, you know what I mean? I don't know.
No, that was really cute though. That's realistic to now, I feel.
Yeah.
If you're living in
it's
a big
very,
city.
Very modern. Like, people have iPhones. It's, you know.
People. Okay, what have you been watching that they don't have iPhones?
Oh, Circumstance?
Oh, look, that wasn't, that they even, anyways... They recorded that in Lebanon.
I've been
in
watching
2000.
A few period pieces too, so I mean, you know, back in the day.
True.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm super stoked about it. By the way, like, I think you guys have taken the reins and Snapchatted this on our Snapchats. We have a Snapchat now, CYC Podcast, just like our Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you guys should follow us on the Snapchats.
Yeah, I mean,
rating review.
Like, I know
Snapchats.
Some people listen to this. Not my parents, not my brothers, not any of my family. But, but there are people. But there are people that listen to this. I know because I obsessively refresh our analytics.
Yes, you are.
So
our
if you are listening
person.
To this and you want to like say something, you can talk to us on any of those, and you can hashtag so that other listeners can. Know what you're saying. Hashtag CYC pod.
Okay. Yeah, hashtag CYC pod. Follow us on the Twitter, Instagram, rate, review.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Because we could always use more of it so more people can find out about us.
Yeah, and we've been thinking, you know, we've gotten some awesome reviews. I mean, we've got one listener in particular, Noelle.
We love you, girl.
Yeah, she's awesome. She stands for us hard.
Yeah, you're the bee's knees. We stand for you. She has her own podcast, High on Life.
Yeah.
I love it. She's kind of like, she's like the indie Charlie Rose, you know, indie Terry Gross from Fresh Air. If you like any of that stuff, you're going to like her because she just does interviews, and I like it.
And she's super, super cool.
She's such a sweetheart.
Yeah. So shout out to her and shout out to all the other people that have already reviewed us. We
love you.
Love the reviews that are already on there.
Don't worry, I'm bringing back the harmonica. And I think Amy Angie wrote that. I'm bringing back the harmonica. Don't know how to play it. Don't care.
Don't know.
Doesn't Amy, matter. I'm gonna be
Amy,
on
what,
here.
What have you done, Amy?
Yo, low key, I think it's in my bag right now.
No.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes.
She's not bringing. No. Anyways.
No, you would not stop me.
We have a ton of like stickers. I don't know if you guys are already on social media, you know that we have stickers with our logo on it, and you know we want to be kind to our reviewers, and whoever has already reviewed us, you know, shoot us a DM, slide in our DMs, and we'll send you a sticker. And if then probably like the next, I don't know, say like dozen or so reviewers, if you guys want stickers, just give us a DM and we'll send you one. Because
damn it, I can't find the harmonica.
Yes.
Thank God. Y'all are lucky.
Oh my God.
Fuck it up.
Back it up.
What? It was. Imagine how that would sound with a harmonica. Like 20 times better.
No.
Imagine
no. That. No. Maybe like if a person that played the harmonica did it.
No. Still.
No. It must be played by a novice. It must be played by me.
Oh dear. Alright, well.
You're like, okay, so shut the fuck up.
One day I will force you to sit down and watch. So at least give it some love on Twitter, the poll type, because it, you know, that way it'll get renewed.
It's so good.
It's
Yo,
good.
That scene though?
Dude.
When they were in the park?
No. Then they kind of acknowledge like a bunch of like racism. They acknowledge racism, they acknowledge like misogyny. I'm circling back around. This shit's great. but let's move on. You want to move on to talk about the other thing that Nicole Buscieri does amazing in?
Oh my God. Okay. So what we wanted to highlight today, the main thing we wanted to highlight today was Circumstance. It's the reason me and my dear friends, and
as we've mentioned, like,
we've mentioned
just,
like eight times, it's just so important.
It's been pretty pivotal in this friendship.
Yeah.
Just so you guys
I found know. Out Maitha's real name because she sent me her paper and I was like, that's her name.
You just told everybody my name isn't Maitha.
Huh?
So now everybody knows my name isn't Maitha.
Well, my name isn't Fred Babita and she like Cabrona. So it's okay.
Mm-mm.
It's okay. Embrace.
Wait, your name isn't Fred Babita?
I know. Legally, it's not. Sadly. I'll change it when I get the
For
money.
Now.
For now.
You
really want
to donate money to the Change Our Names.
To the Changing Our Names Foundation, we're totally open to it. So this movie came out in 2011. It won an audience award at Sundance and is directed by Miriam Keshavarz. I'm sorry, honey. Keshavarz. We love you, okay?
You're amazing.
You're amazing, and you're the first, like, one of the first movies I ever watched about queer women that really hit me, that really, like, I felt like there was a lot of effort and beauty to the story, and so I really appreciated the way it was made, and the first time I saw it, I was 20, so it's been 6-7 years since I saw it.
Yeah, same.
And
same.
I feel completely different than from the time I first saw it when I was 20. So it centers around two girls, two best friends who...
BFFs, like mad, like...
BFFs is not the right word, like soulmates?
Yeah, like they're so, like from the very first scene, you know what I mean? It's like super sweet, like she hands her the little, what do you call it?
It was the money, it was like tuition for school.
No,
so,
no that too, the little origami.
Oh,
yeah.
Does, yeah, so there's two characters, it's Sarah Kazemi... is the actress's name, and it's Sarah Kazemi and Nicole Buscieri, who's in The Bold Type. Their names are Atifa and Shireen in the movie. And the opening scene...
Atifa and Shireen.
Shireen passes her this, like, origami crane in the opening scene while they're standing in line for school, and they're wearing their uniforms, and it's really
It's just
sweet.
Cute from the get-go.
It's really sweet.
And she's just, like, she has her back. She's like, no, you don't have to come with me to... When she's, like... You know, she like the lady called her, and Atafe is like, "I'm gonna stand by you."
Yeah, so it centers around two girls' friendship, and it's supposed to be Iran, but it was actually filmed in, I think, Beirut. And yeah, they can't film in Iran. They're going to think they're making porn. They even thought they were making porn. So the another real special aside about this movie is that they kind of risked their lives to make it.
They ran into some issues.
Being gay in, like, Beirut is still illegal. So they really risked a lot making a movie about two queer women in love. And it was supposed to be based in Iran, which they can definitely not film in. But,
I mean, they can. It just would be a bitch.
Yeah, it's super legal. It's super legal. I mean, with the morality police they have there, like luck to you.
And they literally show that in the movie. Like, the morality they can't even drive around at night.
Women,
like,
can't drive in Iran, I don't think.
I think that's the whole thing. They can't even be out, like, without, like,
male supervision.
Yeah, and the correct male supervision.
Mm-hmm. So, the whole thing about the movie is that it's about a lot of different elements that I see now as, like, an adult. So, it's not just handling the love story between two queer women. It's about the love story between two queer women, machismo, but what's a better word for machismo in English? ¿Cómo se dice?
Just the patriarchy.
The patriarchy. Yeah, that's the same word, isn't it? I was like, I always think of machismo. I never think of patriarchy. This kind of, like, repressive, oppressive society on not just women, but people. The fight between secular and aggressive religious rule.
Like extremism.
Religious rule. And it's between those two things. And what Atifa is going through in the story, the main character, is she's seeing her secular world in her own family, because her family is secular. Her father is an American. He's a college educated in America. He went to Berkeley. I assume he's a lawyer. I don't necessarily... The story doesn't really... say what he does, but he was important to the revolution because of their position in society. They're well off. She has, like, a mansion, and her mom's a surgeon.
Yeah, her mom's, like, a baddie.
Strong woman, and the dad's... That's a secular house that they live in. She has an older brother.
It's considerably liberal, yeah,
To the rest of Iran.
It's like, yeah, like, she doesn't have to, like, I don't know. She has a lot more freedom than most. Especially in comparison to just Shireen's family.
Yes, and that's a huge contrast that we'll touch on later. But, like, she's dealing with... Their family's dealing with, like, her brother's drug addiction. And so, as a way of keeping her brother, Mehran, off drugs, her family, you can see them slowly giving in into this super religious, oppressive bullshit that their whole country's also given into. So, basically, Atifa's house is a microcosm of what's happened in Iran.
Well, yeah, Mehran is like is himself really like a microcosm. He's
a representation of the
government. Yeah.
Yeah, of the government, and the way. So what her brother does is even creepier. He's predatory. He's kind of lost. He's basically like a neo-Nazi, but for like Iran.
You know what I just realized? What? He's basically like, you know, Big Brother. You know how Big Brother is like the big eye watching you, but he is Atifa's Big Brother, literally.
Oh, wow. Okay, look at that. Look at this. Yeah, he's Big Brother and literally...
Like, puts cameras everywhere.
Puts cameras in his little sister's bedroom.
Everywhere.
With the sound on.
Like, everywhere.
Like, he recorded what she was saying, too. Kitchen. Super creepy. We'll get to that, how he knows what is said later on.
Well, that's it right there. That's the cameras.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere in the house. Like, her house is slowly becoming Iran. And this girl who's used to this freedom, used to this privilege, is watching her whole life get turned upside down, and everyone inside of that house and that home is just turned and changed, and she's the only one that, in the end, maybe has lost her mind, or the only one that's kept her wits. And what I saw this time around versus the time when I was 20 was, there's this huge difference in attitudes between Atifa and Shireen. Shireen is the girl, her best friend slash her soulmate slash her girlfriend everything.
It's too complicated to label.
It's complicated, you guys. Just watch it and understand. Like, so Shireen is completely different from Atifa in that her parents have gone missing, and it has something to do with the revolution because of the way society treats her.
No, I think they were, like, they actually...
They mention it?
They said they're killed. Yeah, they were killed because they were revolutionaries, they were writers.
Yeah.
They're basically the amazing people that we praise here, but over there, just because of her association.
Well, in any society, anyone who's smart and has good ideas, when you're trying to be, like, a socialist country, like, they're trying to do us, they're gonna off them first. Not socialist, but fascist.
Yeah, well, I mean, fascist is basically the they word. Were heroes, but they treat her like trash because they went against that oppressive government.
Yeah, that Atifa's family flourished in, which is different. I don't know what her
father
did.
Which is what's so weird because even though they flourish in it,
Berkeley educated and he's a surgeon.
They're so liberal and they're so like cool about their daughters and they don't like force all these ideals upon them. But they, like you said, they're respected members of society. So that was a weird thing for me.
For them to be secular, yet for them to be so high up in society,
right?
Iran.
In that particular, yeah, it was weird. Like,
I'm thinking maybe he had something to do with the revolution, and he helped them get the Americans out.
I just thought it was because they had money.
Yeah, I mean, duh. He studied in Berkeley. His dude was rich, and the mom is a surgeon. Anyways, no. But one of my favorite things between them is there's this beautiful scene between Atifa and Shireen. Right?
Dude, it's Atafe.
Atafe? Okay. Okay, can I just say Nicole Bashiri?
Yes.
I'm sorry, baby, but I'm just saying Nicole Bashiri. Nicole Bashiri and Sarah Kazemi go swimming in this water because women aren't allowed to go swimming because that means they have to take off their clothes. It's indecent. But yo, it was so beautiful. They were just out there swimming for each other.
No, but and then talk about like the scene right before that.
Oh.
Because, I mean, they're plunging into the sea.
Okay,
is,
so let's...
You know, a parallel.
It's a parallel for them plunging into different seas. Anyways.
it was cute. The like, scene... Just, it was, I don't know.
Okay, so they had a sleepover or whatever.
No, I mean, you don't have to talk about this, like, the, you know,
no,
the intimate
I'm just saying,
part. But
like, they were intimate the night before.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that. It was, like, the fact that, like... Sarah Kazemi's character, Shireen, is, like, crying. She wakes up crying, and then Atifa takes care of her.
Yeah, you see their relationship, it's very nurturing, and what I really like is that what they find in each other is this safe place away from men, oppressive religion, society's rules. They just kind of feel safe around each other. They create a safe space for each
other.
It's
fantasy, dude.
This kind of fantasy world, yeah.
They have a ton of like little fantasy scenes in it where they're not real, but it's like they're both sharing the same fantasy together. Those are some great scenes.
That's a little too relatable. Anyways.
But what's awesome is that they share it. Like, what's awesome is that it's not one person doing it for them. Like, they're both just kind of like, damn.
They're in this world of what ifs, you know? And what I like is that Shireen is the one that's coming up with this dream world for both of them.
Yeah.
And it's...
I just thought of the ending. And I
yeah, the ending. Anyways, but I like it. They make this safe place for themselves, and that's where they exist, and away from everyone. What I saw this time, 6 years later, was the complexity of Shireen's character. I really appreciated her character a lot this time. At first, I didn't understand her decisions and her choices that she made at the end.
I completely understood it. I 100%. I mean, I didn't, and I didn't. You know, you're right. Yeah, the first time I was just like, what the fuck? And this time I was just like, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what the story is telling is, what I would have liked more is if this story could have been fleshed out more, because I felt like every single character was really well written, and I really wanted to know more about each character. Honestly, I want to know what's going on with her dad. What does her mom really feel about Mehran becoming super religious? Because throughout the story, you can see the mom giving in to his, you know...
She kind of gave in almost
religion.
To begin with.
Yeah,
the
but
dad
I think
was
but
more...
I think she did that because she didn't want him to be addicted to drugs anymore. And you can kind of understand
that. Yeah.
She was like, okay, if this is what's getting you off drugs and keeping you alive, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, go pray. It's
go
fine.
Pray. But the father was the one... The father and...
Atafe.
We're looking at him like, yo, what the fuck's wrong with you, bro? Like, are you for real right now? Like, they're not religious.
Right. Or at least not in the traditional sense.
No, not in the traditional sense. They're secular. They're, you know, they're culturally Muslim, it seems.
Right, like they wear the hijab and stuff.
But the first thing that I really, like, understood about Shireen this time was that I was really understanding her perspective and why she made those choices. So the opening scene of the movie is Atifa paying for Shireen's tuition. And then you slowly begin to understand, okay, they're placing her position in society really early in this movie. Like, okay, she doesn't have enough money to pay tuition for school. Everywhere she goes, people treat her like a whore because she's fucking gorgeous. So
No,
they treat her like a whore because they see her as like a lower class woman.
Because they associate her.
Beautiful.
Because they associate her with her family.
They associate her with her family. They associate with her with what she wears.
With her parents and stuff.
You know, because she's on the lower part of society. And I assume that like other people can tell that she's from the lower part of society. And so that's why they treat her like a whore. That's what I understood this time. Was like, oh, it's because she's poor and she's beautiful. So these men feel the need, like, you're my woman, you know? There was a scene where she takes a cab by herself for the first time. And you can see herself trying to explore her sexuality, her own sexual identity. Because that's what she's doing. She's a teenager. She's trying to figure out her own identity.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out whether she likes dudes or not, too. So she's flirting with the cab driver, and then all of a sudden he just grabs her foot and says, yo, I can just take you down the morality police, they can rape you, or you can sit here and watch me jack off to your foot.
Or, yeah, basically something fucking weird.
Yeah, like he jacks off to her foot.
And in most situations, like, it's kind of...
He had a
push like,
fetish.
Like
foot fetish.
Yeah, like, it could have been a funny thing. Like, that's so shocking. Like, he could do anything to this girl, and he just chooses to, like, rub on her foot or whatever.
Thank God, you sigh on the inside. Like, that's But...
You know, yeah, inside, you're just, like... You're like, he's weird, and two, you know, it's not as bad as it could have been. But in her mind, she's just like, wow, I'm being abused for no reason, once again.
Reality is that there is a man who's...
Who's taking advantage of her.
They're taking away her power over and over again. And throughout the whole movie, Shireen's power is getting taken slowly, step by step.
We're starting to get real spoilery, so just heads up.
Heads up, I'm going to start spoiling it. So, Atifa.
There you go.
Is finding herself, is growing into her sexuality, and realizing what she feels and understands while Shireen is losing it. Step by step, everything is getting taken away from her because she's poor, because her options are limited, because she's getting into trouble with her girlfriend because they're just trying to live life. They're just being badass bitches. So they go to this... There's a secret party that they go to, and Shireen's, again, testing her sexuality. She just got... You know,
and she's also kind of testing Atafe, or they're testing each other. They're, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do next? Like, and they start like kind of dancing, and you know, like doing all kinds of stuff. Basic teenager
because
shit.
Yeah, like, she saw her girlfriend flirting with a dude, so she's like, "F you, I'm gonna go flirt."
And
with
it was
a dude.
Less of an F you; it was more of a like a challenge almost. Like, yeah. At least that's how I kind of saw it, because it was like Atafe was just like, you know, whatever. Like, you gotta be wild. You gotta wild out against this society that we have to live in. Like, this is where we let loose. Mm-hmm. And then Shireen's just like, I can do bad too. I don't know.
Yeah, but then did you see the way that she would look at
Yeah,
Shireen?
they were both very clearly upset about it, but I think it was kind of a challenge thing. Also because like they're kinda like saying, like, you know, are you mad about this? Like, are you feeling the same way I'm feeling, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but Shireen never did it to like fight society. She did it to fight Atifa's, like.
Yeah.
Because Atifa was, like, clearly flirting with people. She was flirting.
Yeah, Atifa was just like, I'm going to be wild and freaky.
I'm going to be wild and freaky and get what I want from these dudes.
Yeah.
And Shireen was like, well, let's see if you like it when I do it. She didn't like it when she did it at
Atifa
all.
Was just like, oh, okay.
She's like, okay, I get it. I get it. Okay, I'm not going to do that shit anymore.
Gave her attention again, yeah.
Yeah, she's okay.
Even though it was, like, shitty in general, like, it definitely added so much depth to their relationship.
But I thought another thing, there was a club scene right after she gets her foot, she gets her safety taken away in that cab. She starts acting out. She goes to that illegal club and she sees a guy looking at her. He's pretty good looking. She goes over there and she takes her power back. And I felt like she was very sexual with this dude, not because she was attracted to him, not because she wanted him. She literally did it to take back her power, and I really understand that. Like, she's queer, but yet she goes up to a guy and she just rubs on him and says, you know, I know you want to fuck me, but she's like, but you're not going to, and she like slams him against the wall and walks away.
Yeah, not to say that like she's necessarily like, you know, gay, because we don't know.
We
don't get to know if she's, you know, she only likes women.
We know that she's in love
She's in love with her best friend. That's the one thing that is for certain. So no bi erasure here, I promise. Like, no, no, bi people matter.
We're just saying she's queer.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, not to say that she wasn't attracted to that dude.
I'm pretty sure she didn't
purpose,
like that dude. The
yeah,
purpose of
the
that,
purpose of this was power. I mean, she just seen the dude for
just,
the first time.
Yeah, she wanted to reclaim her power from that creepy dude earlier.
Yeah, she did.
She goes there, she's like, yeah, I know you want to bang me out, but fuck you. And so I thought that scene was really important because I feel like Shireen starts to kind of lose it after that. And
yeah, her fear kind of thing gets the better of her, and she starts acting out, like, mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Mehran comes in and takes full
Mehran
ass.
Mehran is, like, super predatory and creepy the whole time. Like, who hits on the little sister's friend? Like, she's, like, 18, bro.
No, and plus he...
Yeah, they're still in school.
It was almost like he, like, planned it. Like, because he was at that club, and he was, like, he made sure that shit got shut down, and he used to be one of those people.
Yeah, as we see earlier, I mean, he's battling a drug addiction that he's now judging his little sister for.
Hard, yeah, like won't even eat food that she's touched type of shit.
Yeah, because it's unclean, because she's touched it, and it's, old boy is creepy as fuck, and he's having all these wet dreams about, like, Shireen, and I'm like, bro, I get it, she's gorgeous, but she's also probably underage. But that doesn't matter to him.
It doesn't matter in that society.
It doesn't matter in that society, period. The way they treat her, it's really sad.
Sure.
And it just gets sadder for her every time. So...
Yeah, I'm not watching it.
Shireen and Atife. I'm never going to say it right. Atife. I'm going to say Addy.
Just say
her
Nicole.
And Addy get caught driving out, being like, you know, singing and... There's this really weird scene between them in the car. But anyways, they get pulled over by the morality police, and Shireen is kind of not left with an option. The only option she has, because she's poor, is her uncle to sell their house to get her out of jail. And so old Mehran's creepy ass comes by and is like, yo, girl, you can just marry my ass. I'll get you out of jail.
And he didn't even say that. He's just like, I took care of it. And then, like, later on, it kind of, like, the uncle comes up and he's like, you know, you don't have a choice, right, about marriage. You no longer have that choice of whether or not you're going to get married. So once again, choice and power taken away from this girl.
This girl's none by the end.
Technically she has choice at the end, but she doesn't feel like it.
She doesn't feel like she has that choice. I honestly understood it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mehran's creepy ass marries his little sister's best friend, who he's been creeping on with cameras since the day she walked in and he came back.
And that wedding.
Oh, okay, so the wedding scene, I want to talk about, they get married, okay, and you can feel Addy and Shireen's tension, like, they're dancing, and it is, like,
it's, like, the most heartbreaking,
intense scene,
yeah, like, so much eye contact, and so much sadness, and
there's, like, an apology there, but they can't do it, and there's so much pain in Addie's face,
dude,
and Sarah,
their acting skills, like, I don't, like, I think this was their biggest first project for both of them, I think. God damn, like, give these girls an Oscar, not the movie.
Yeah, because the plot was a lot happening, but those actresses, oh my God.
They
didn't even have to talk. They just looked at each other, and I was like, what the fuck, are they, like, looking at each other? I die. You know?
Dead. Absolutely dead.
I died. Like, in that scene, that dancing is just so intense. Like, Shireen is so sad, and you can just tell the other girl's, like, trying to be happy through the pain, and she also wants to dance with her girlfriend because she hasn't been able to.
And you can't, she misses Atafe, but you can't blame Shireen when she has, like, the slightest bit of happiness because she's safe.
And she gets to hang out with her girlfriend in the same house, at least.
So she's kind of, you know what I mean?
For her, this was the best option, or else she'd be in jail getting...
Who
sexually
knows
abused.
What, yeah. Like
they all were.
She could have ended up dead, like
dead.
Her parents,
they
quite honestly.
Stoned her.
So, as much as Mehran is definitely the predator here,
He's Captain Save-A-Ho, too. I mean, but fuck him. I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
Mr. Captain Save-A-Ho and his bitch ass had to come. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that dance scene, I felt like there was so much tension, and you can tell that there's, like, so much between them, and I was just, like, there was a group of people dancing around them. Apparently, Persian people are, like, Mexicans. We all dance in a circle.
I was gonna say, like, that entire time I was hitting that cumbia, I was like, their tunes or jams are, like,
oh, yo, the music, the whole movie, okay,
the entire soundtrack.
Yeah,
I was like,
it's such a musical family. Like, who just starts singing? Like, the mom is just bursts out into song. They just start playing the piano.
That bitch has my phone. Even he has an amazing
voice.
He's
a classically trained pianist.
And he has an amazing voice. Like, sadly.
Fuck
you and your amazing vocals. And your
great musical abilities.
I'm sure you're great in real life.
Yeah, Yeah, he's such a great actor. Because if we feel this strongly about this motherfucker's character...
He's like the Joffrey of circumstances.
Yeah, he's the Joffrey of circumstance. Fuck him.
He really made you hate
bitch-ass
him.
Bitch-ass Captain Sabo. Anyways, I have very strong feelings about him. But yeah. And then there's another scene that I want to highlight. Because it wasn't about... You know, oh, wow, they're kissing. It's more about... A midnight. I called it like a midnight visit. Like, so the first night or the second night or the third night.
One of the nights after she's married.
One of the nights after she's married, she like sneaks out of bed with Mehran and goes into her girl's bed and is like, yo, wake up.
She's like, I did this for you.
I did this for you, baby girl.
I'm just crying right here right now.
And she's, but it's like, she tells her that she loves her and then it's just, it means something now a lot differently at 26 than it did at 20. And I was like, oh my God, like this girl just got out of her repressive ass, ugly ass Captain Sabo bed to come to her girl that she actually loves.
So much.
Her soulmate, like they just.
And Atafe is just broken and.
She's broken. She, like imagine loves being her. That too, you know? Like your best friend had to marry your brother.
I would die.
Right? That's so. Like. Addie doesn't want to give in to it. Like, she's like, no, like, you married my brother. We have to stop this. I love you, but I love my brother, you know?
No, I think Atafe was more like, it hurts me a shitload to see you with him.
Yeah, you're right.
It's more like, yeah, I think at this point she's pretty fucking pissed at Mehran. And she's just like, dude, like, seeing you with anyone else is...
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
you can
fuck.
See it. You can see it. She avoids eye contact with Shireen from then on, and...
Yeah.
Except in that bed.
And
like,
she's a teenager, so I mean, you can't exactly be like, see Shireen's side of it. You know what I mean? Like, no, she has mad feelings right now. She's a hormonal teenager. She's supposed to be this pissed off and sad. That's how she's supposed to be.
And it's a beautiful scene when she goes in to say that, you know, she loves her and she wants to be with her and she did this for her. And
so many tears.
And I felt a lot of things. And that all gets shattered the very next day when Mehran, who I fucking hate, spoiler alert,
He watched that video.
He watched
and throws those
the
words
video
in her face.
And he's like, "Oh yeah, you still love me? You did this for me?" Like apparently, yeah, he's been recording his sister's bedroom with sound because he knows the words she said. Yeah. It wasn't just like a video. No, no, he had sound. So I don't want to know what else he heard. Anyways.
Oh, girl.
Oh my God. Anyways, but still, like it's just so creepy, and he takes advantage of Shireen, and yet again we see this girl get broken.
He lets out his anger and basically rapes her.
Yep.
Like, it's fucked. And then he plays the victim. He starts crying, like, why am I not enough? Why am I not enough? Like, dude, you coerced a woman into marrying you. Like,
yeah, and she was like 17.
Like, how the fuck do you expect her to feel anything for you?
Yeah, and you knew she was in love with your sister. You had cameras. You had cameras in the house. You knew they was making out in the room, so you knew they were in love, so you were just, what was your whole point? What was the deal here? You know? And that's heartbreaking.
So, I mean, it becomes hard, and then, you know, everybody else kind of becomes aware of Big Brother over here.
Yeah, and they start praying. The dad, what hurt my heart, too, was at the very end, the father, who's secular, starts praying with Mehran, and Eddie sees this and says, it's time to dip.
Yeah, she's like, this is getting too far, like, you know, I don't want to be under the suppressed. Basically, she starts feeling what Shireen's been feeling all along, and she's just like, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
And get some, you know, one-way fucking tickets out. And then
to Dubai,
Shireen,
like how...
Shit. Yeah. Like how they've been fantasizing.
They've been fantasizing about going to Dubai this whole time, and so at the very end...
She's like, let's fucking do it.
She goes to Shireen and her brother's bedroom and is like, what are you scared of?
It takes down that camera.
Takes
like,
down that camera.
That
and it's so emotional. Like,
it's so hard because
Addie's so,
she's so
angry.
And there's like anger, but there's still like the love. Right?
So much love. Like, she's it's like, I tough. Love you. I don't want this. Let's get the fuck out of here.
But then Shireen.
Shireen is so stuck at this point and so hurt and so
yeah,
broken.
At this point, like, because
there's nothing in her left.
Yeah, if she at one point had that feeling of safety, that got taken away whenever Mehran did that shit because, like, now she's, like, yeah, like you said, the rest of her power got taken away. Like, that's it. She doesn't feel like she has the ability to leave.
Yeah, she thinks she's stuck. She thinks she's stuck. And I think that's so heartbreaking to be stuck.
She's not 100% wrong. She could have gotten caught. She could have gotten killed.
She could have gotten killed.
If she tried to escape.
Addie. But Addie's kind of...
had a way better chance. Like, her together. Brother wasn't going to go after her. Her brother was going to go after Shireen.
True.
So.
I would have done it anyways.
Yeah. I mean, rather than be with Mehran.
But yeah, so.
I don't know if you're going to mention this or not, but the whole dubbing milk.
Yes, that's another thing I want to talk about. So there's a subplot throughout the movie that's super important, and also where the name of the movie came from. So Addie's friends, she has one friend that comes from the United States. They go to this barbershop Blockbuster because, you know, in Iran, watching Western movies without them being first corrected by the government is super illegal. Yeah, so they go, and what one of her friends does, he dubs movies, and he sells them. He makes money. He's already rich anyways, but he does this for fun because he's like, fuck the government.
Yeah.
So one of their American friends comes and he's like, you know what? Let's fucking dub milk. You know, he's riding off this post-Obama wave, you know, this idealism that's in America he brings to Iran and he tries to spread it. And I love that they're dubbing milk.
And I love that they bring that up specifically because these girls are still questioning their sexuality at that point. And they're what I really, really love is the comparison. It's like, the gay movement in comparison to, you know, like, women's rights, in comparison to every single one of these, like, movements for, quote-unquote, like, minorities, like, they're all kind of the same. We're just at different stages.
Yes.
So, I love that comparison. And then they start dubbing milk, essentially.
Yes, they start dubbing milk, but it all comes about from the American... born friend. He straight up says, and he looks them dead in the eye, and this
because they're kind of like, no, we shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't do that. Yeah, that's reluctant. Lame. You know, and
not even lame. Like, it's like not worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like what for? And he says, well, don't you want to change your circumstances?
Yeah, can you just like settle for this? And
yeah,
even
he's
though
like, yeah, and disregarding a lot and of danger, he's just saying that because he's talking about the political thing, but he doesn't understand what he's really saying to Addie and Shireen at that time. Because Shireen, she takes that to heart, and it really affects her. Addie at first is kind of like whatever, you know.
She's like, but this is funny, blah blah blah.
Shireen really is like taking that, and that's when her day goes wrong, and she has like a really rough day, you know. But I love that. And then another thing that they say and says here, anything illegal becomes politically subversive.
Yes.
I thought that was so important for her to say.
Because he's just like, look, you're looking at it from your American perspective.
Correct.
Funnily, it's funny to me that they have that, that they make that point because this entire movie is kind of from an American perspective.
Correct.
It has its problematic parts.
Yes. The whole take on religion, on the Muslim
religion. I mean, they just make it seem like religion 100% bad. Like, where's the good comparison, you know what I mean? Like, where's a religious person that they maybe should be more like?
There was no good representation of a good Muslim in there, like a good Muslim, but a good healthy representation of the way the actual religion, practicing religion in the way it should be shown, but
like a
in Iran is a little bit different, you know.
No, definitely, but I mean, we can't, you know, like, it's still an American point of view of it, like,
true.
There's still
an outsider's view. I mean, she's like first generation, though. Like, she went back the director, Maryam Kishavarz, went back every summer. Like, I think her character was him, basically. I think she was that American
was that
character
kid.
Visiting.
Yeah, but there you go, right? That's kind of the point that I'm making. Like, he was ignorant to what they were actually going through because he just goes there for a summer. You know what I mean? Like, so
it's their lives. It's their...
Like yeah, there's a lot
they
of
could
terrible...
Die.
It's every not nothing that the movie was saying was necessarily wrong.
No,
it just didn't show... anything other than that. And, like, not every single Muslim in Iran
no.
is bad. Not every
no.
single one of them is that extreme.
Nope.
And
so, facts.
So, it failed there, and I think it was just really... I think it was made for Americans.
Of course.
Which is probably why we like it so much. Who knows, but it's...
I liked it because it showed...
I 100% love
really
this movie,
good...
and I'll recommend it to anybody.
I give it 5 pan dulces. It has its... Okay, 4.8 pan dulces.
4.8, very specifically.
4.8 pan dulces. This is the one time... No, you know what? F that. I love this movie.
Yeah,
with flaws and all.
Yeah, I'll probably talk a little bit more about their flaws, but I'll tell you right now, 0 gut sequels. You can watch this shit, have a sleep, and be woke.
You're just gonna need, like, a hug afterwards. Like, I remember... Do you remember how you felt after you saw this movie?
I was, okay, so I was, like, 19 at the time, give or take, maybe, yeah, like, 19.
You were 19 because I was 20, yeah.
Yeah, so when I saw it, and I saw it in theaters and everything, the big screen.
Me too.
Like, dude, I don't think I had seen a movie like that ever. Surprising. Because, you know, like, back, you know, the 2000s representation of lesbians was, like...
White girls.
She's a tease, and... White girls. It was, like, a one-time kiss. Like, there was no real...
White girls.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's what you really want to say, right? White girls.
Yeah, I mean...
These are non-English-speaking...
They were you brown know... Brown women. They were brown women, and they were beautiful, and it was a fleshed-out relationship. It wasn't one-dimensional.
Nope. There was no, like...
So I felt, even though it was the saddest movie in the entire world, afterwards I was happy. I was like, hell yeah. Like, this movie was something I related to so hard. You know what I mean? Like, it was great to me. Even though it was sad as fuck. And then, of course, now I saw it and I kind of feel like you do. Like, I see 100 more political, like, things that I got out of it, I guess. And, yeah, I was upset about, like, the Muslim thing. And I was upset about it being Americanized and... I think those are pretty much the two big critiques for me.
That's Americanized.
That's pretty much it. It's Americanized and it's...
It's a negative portrayal of Muslim religion.
All, that's what I love so much about the bold type. They have the most amazing Muslim representation. They're just like... She's like,
healthy,
yeah,
unhealthy representation of it.
She's like, my government does all this bullshit. That's why I stand up to it. But I am a Muslim woman.
Yeah. Like, she's very proudly a Muslim woman.
There's no one side or the other. It's like, in this movie, it's extremist or atafe. In the bold type, it's like, there's a gray area. There's not, like, you know what I mean? It's not one under the other.
I can both be,
I can be
Muslim
queer
and
proud.
Queer and proud.
Yeah, of both.
And undocumented.
Yeah, she has to, I mean, she's there, like, in America legally or whatever. Because for work, essentially, she's a very, very popular photographer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, she does...
Her status in America is always... Like every immigrant, it's very...
Right. But she gets in trouble, essentially, back in her hometown. And so she has to stay in America or come back to America. And that's where it gets complicated. But, yeah, so immigration comes up, too, in the show.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Circumstance. Honestly, watch it and then go watch The Bold Type. There's only a few episodes in.
Dude, I remember after, like, Circumstance, I, like, drove around. It was, like, nighttime.
You're like, I have this privilege.
I felt very much, like, Addy, and I felt like...
Yeah, you definitely, the first time you took Atafe's side, and I took Atafe's side, where it's, like, you should have run away.
Like, I was mad at Shireen's character.
And now we know better, essentially.
Yeah, and I just drove around for, like... an hour in the dark.
I didn't do that. Like, I think I went home
just... like, legit, I just drove around Dallas for an hour, like, I don't want to feel things.
Oh, God.
It was so bad, dude. But not, like, bad. It was so good. It's life-changing for both of us, okay?
Yeah.
Go watch it. Go fucking...
It's beautiful. I don't know what to tell
you. It's beautiful, and... It means a lot to me, so... 5 pan dulces and 0 cafecitos.
So, like, you don't need an... It will wake you up. You don't need coffee.
And, yeah, so yeah. I think that's it for today. I think we're good.
Yeah. As always, if you have anything to talk to us about.
Questions, concerns, comments.
Hate mail. Send us hate mail. CYC podcast mail.
We will read it.
@gmail.com. We'll read it out loud.
Hell yeah.
And we actually really want to encourage you guys to, like, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, we kind of talked about Pocahontas being pretty gay.
Yeah.
If you have any characters or characters that you think
should have been
or were low-key queer, like, we want you guys to
more importantly,
you know, because we want to get, like, a good amount of information from you or of your opinion. You know, you can email us at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. that way we can read it out loud here on the podcast.
Super interested in what you guys think about that.
We
so.
Totally want to hear some of these, because we have a ton. We have a list of characters.
Ongoing list that we're adding people to.
That we're going to keep talking about. We're going to do one character per episode where we talk about why they're gay. Even though they're technically not.
They're not supposed to be gay, supposedly, to y'all, straight
but
people.
But they are.
Not that y'all are straight.
No, I mean, like, y'all straight, like, y'all cool.
Y'all straight, y'all cool. Yeah. The hood's version of that definition. Anyways, but...
Review and rate us on iTunes or, you know, wherever you want, wherever you listen to us. Like, that helps so much. And thank you so much for everybody that's been listening.
We love you guys. Shout out to Cerebronas. Shout out to
Latinos
Who Lunch. Shout out to Tamarindo. Shout out to all you guys that have been supporting us. We love y'all. We ride for y'all. We will continue. We ride for y'all super fucking hard. So, we love y'all.
This has been awesome.
We love you guys. Bye.